Better than this, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this, guys? Being dudes, you're on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Friday edition of the show, talking Pac-12 football. Kyle, welcome.
Hello. Ready to talk the Pac-12, Joe? I actually, exciting news. Put together my top 100 big board for the preseason this morning.
I saw that, you chump.
So we could talk about some of these Pac-12 players that made the list.
I wish I still got a few guys. We have until Wednesday on that, right? So I got a couple guys I need to get eyes on. You know, like Christian Fulton, who I still haven't seen.
What are you waiting for?
I'm waiting to not having my day hijacked all the time. You know,
imagine having. Imagine having watched like third string defensive tackles for NC State, but not having watched Christian Fulton.
It's me. It's me.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know.
First of all, you've made it official, so I need to congratulate you in the public space.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
You are having a baby.
A baby girl.
Little baby girl. You found out yesterday. You went to the doctor. Little baby girl named Rebecca.
Yeah, that's right. She's coming in January.
Right in the heart of draft season.
My God. Yeah. Yeah.
Draft baby, baby.
Somebody had put on one of the comments about, you know, that they're looking forward to me being sleepless for draft season. I'm like, listen, my body's already sleepless. You don't sleep January through April. I'm ready for it. Well, I don't think I am, but look, it's a typical non-sleep time of year for me. So,
right, you're only gonna lose so much, and it'll be productivity. It won't be sleep. So. It's fine. It's all fine. It's good.
It's all fine, Kyle. I just got to get my – just beyond me when, like, when we're in mid-November, better get my reports done.
No, because I've been trying to stay on you for 3 years now to stay on top of your reports in November, and you never do shit.
Listen.
We get to the second week of December. You have the same amount you did the first week in October. What are you doing this whole time, Joe? Well, you know, whatever.
I work really hard, people. Just know that I work really hard, but thank you, man. Though. We can't wait, dude. We cannot wait.
Very exciting stuff.
All right.
Pac-12 football.
I mean, don't we have like a player to talk about for 8 minutes before we get to the Pac-12 today?
No, I was thinking we actually keep this under 35 minutes for once, and maybe we just dig right in, you know?
Talk
about the schools, our prediction. Did we ever go on the record on who you predicted?
For ACC?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Virginia. Virginia and Clemson.
And the winner's Virginia?
No.
Okay.
No. Clemson by a landslide.
Bet. And I will go – I'll go with Virginia Tech and Clemson with Clemson winning the ACC.
That's not an official Joe Kyle bet, by the way.
No. Doesn't have to be. Although maybe we'll get down to the – the Virginia Tech showdown, and if there's something interesting there, maybe we can lay some bragging rights on the line for that.
Yeah, some bragging rights. Who's the best prospect in the Pac-12? Let's start with whatever team they play for.
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, it's Justin Herbert.
Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, we did like an entire show on Herbert, right? Like,
we did him versus Tua.
The only thing that I'll say that's different about what I said there is Daniel Jeremiah did an article for NFL.com with some NFL executive takes on each of the top quarterbacks. And they said that Justin Herbert's character was impeccable.
Yes, which is good, you know, because you've heard some of those whispers of, oh, he's a little too quiet.
Maybe he is. Maybe those aren't the same thing, though, right? Like,
But if it's going to get called directly into the spotlight and they're going to say – his character is impeccable.
Right.
I feel good enough about it that, no, it's not. It's nothing that, until I get more tangible evidence that something's wrong, I'm not going to hold anything against him in that capacity. capacity.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure he's a great dude, but like, is it, people aren't questioning his character. It's like, what's his assertiveness like? What's his temperament as a, you know, kind of the face of a football team?
Yeah, but
I don't have those questions. I'm just telling you what I think people are saying.
I get that the Mariota thing, like that was a thing for Mariota, and that's kind of blown up. So, but like, is that not Eli Manning?
Probably. Did you watch Hard Knocks this past week?
Yeah.
What did Gruden's in there? You're like a house mouse. Talk. Want better fucking execution. All right. Should I have done that? That was bad. All right.
No, you're setting a bad standard for your child.
Listen, she's in the other room right now. So there's going to be some podcasts, brother, where we're going to have a co-host.
That's going to be great. I can't wait. as far as the rest of this Oregon team.
Yeah.
There are notable prospects along the offensive line. They have four redshirt senior starters coming back.
Who's your favorite one?
Hansen.
Yeah, he's the right answer for sure.
I did not like Lemieux, and I did not like Throckmorton that much.
Same. Same. But kind of for where they're built. They're probably fine prospects, but not like top guys.
Right. Like they did not sniff my top 100 in constructing a top 100.
Same.
Throckmorton's probably between 101 and 150. But Hansen, he's weird, right? Cause he has a little bit of mobility to his game, but like when he's engaged with players, he kills his feet so much that like he doesn't slide with blocks all that well.
Right. So
I'm just saying, or maybe you disagree with me.
Well, do you think he's a scheme specific guy?
I think he'd be fine in either one. I'd probably feel more comfortable with him in gap concepts than in zone concepts.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'd agree with that. I know a lot about this defense, so I'm anxious to get to the defense.
All right, go let it rip.
You watch Jordan Scott, this defensive tackle, who's as tall as he is wide?
Yes.
I mean, if you're looking for a plug, you like his movement? Do you think there's any juice there?
There might be a little bit.
Like a little? Like, not like Dalvin Tomlinson, Jerron Reed. Like, maybe they'll emerge as a pass rusher. I think he's a true, just like a big body space eater.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
What about Troy Dye? Where are you at with Troy Dye? He's like the C-plus version of Isaiah Simmons?
Yeah, I'm just trying to give a different name off the top of my head that like I'd feel more comfortable putting him in the same sentence with, because it's not Isaiah Simmons.
Well, I mean, I think people probably view him as a rangy, athletic kind of matchup neutralizer, and that's kind of what I think about with Simmons. But I mean, I probably don't trust Dye playing into the line of scrimmage quite as much as I would Simmons.
I don't think he's as long, right?
No.
And I also don't really like him as much in coverage either as Isaiah Simmons. I don't think there's any area of his game that he is in the same conversation as Isaiah Simmons. But
stylistically, do you get that, or am I just am I in another?
No, I do. Yeah. What about you watch any Thomas Graham?
Yeah, I think he's a really smart football player. Cover three type corner.
Yep.
What type of juice does he have? Because there were some times, man, just guys get behind him. And he's
not super heavy either.
No, yeah.
He's 5'11", 185 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably, what would you say, a mid-4.5
type? Yeah, probably so.
So
probably
he's got to stay leveraged over top of stuff by design.
Mm-hmm.
Or you better play him with a safety that's going to guarantee they've got range to get over top of him and help him out.
I also did, how do you say this guy's name? DeAndre Leomador, I guess. Did you do any work on him at all or no?
Is that the other corner?
Yeah, I think he was a true junior.
He flashed at me, but I haven't actually watched him, no.
My report is not pulling up right now, so that's not
great. Wow. Fake news. You didn't watch him.
No, I did. I have freaking notes on him on thedraftnetwork.com, but it's not pulling up, sir. Ben, where's Solak?
Yeah, I gotta get the IT kid on that. Yeah. The whiz kid.
Check out my report on thedraftnetwork.com. You can get all my
when it loads.
All my comments on DeAndre Limador.
All right, so should we do? Should I tell you who the next best player is in the Pac-12 when we do their team?
Yeah, that's fun.
Herbert. Next one down the line is Paulson Adebo.
Yes. Big fan. I think he might be my
prospect.
Yeah, I need to watch Fulton. But I think right now he's my
3 months.
He's my cornerback one right now, man.
He is my CB3, but he's 14th overall on the board.
Really? You have Hall ahead of him?
I do.
Yeah, we had this conversation off air one time.
Yep. I have Bryce Hall at 10. I have Fulton at 12, and I have Adebo at 14. There you go. Little teaser.
And Adebo doesn't even have that much tape, and he's really good.
Yes. And he's very instinctual, I feel like.
Oh, he plays fast. That's one of my favorite things about him. He sees it, and he reacts. He plays everything fast, and he's physical. Ball skills, man. If you want to see his ball skills, check out that Oregon game.
Yes. That play in overtime was out of this world.
Oh, yeah. Big fan. I think people are sleeping on him. He's like missing from a lot of people's top corner lists. I don't get it.
Now, the next best prospect on the Stanford Cardinal is who?
The next best Stanford. That tight end?
Parkinson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I think so.
I would say. But, I mean, he's not, to me, he's not like a top 75 guy right now. He didn't have juice. It's just like Caden Smith. But, like, at least Caden Smith, they played in line. Parkinson's almost never in line. They use him as a big slot guy. They let him beat up defensive backs and blocking. But, like, I watched 3.5 games of Stanford yesterday to finish writing him up. And like they were going with 3 tight ends on the field, and Parkinson wasn't one of them.
So, that's weird.
And it's like when they went condensed and heavy, and they had their guys with their hands in the dirt, they didn't call on Parkinson to be that.
Done any work on Costello yet, like in depth?
Yes, I have.
Okay, tell us what we need to know.
He's Brock Osweiler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, he'll flash and he'll grab your attention, and he plays pretty loose within the pocket. And, you know, he's one of these big, tall guys, so he's all gangly and like limbs are all over the place. And there's a little bit of pocket mobility there. And I like his ability to be aggressive and shoot it down the field. You saw with our Sega Whiteside. But some of the decisions are just so bad. And he plays so loose in the pocket that he's got like big time ball security issues that are waiting to show up. Because of how he detaches the ball away from his frame while he's sliding in the pocket and stuff like that.
So your first round mock drafts with Costello in them are wrong?
Yeah. Did I do that?
No, I'm just saying. I think he's a guy that, you know how it's this time of year to kind of just like throw some darts and then maybe cash a receipt? Oh,
trust me. I've tried it.
Kyle,
it's not worth it.
Brother, you weren't wrong. Everybody's talking about Lewerke and saying he's not the same guy he was in 2017.
Well, if that's the case, I'm coming in like MJ in Space Jam from the free throw line. So just be ready.
He jumped from further back than that, wasn't it?
Was it half court?
I don't know, felt like it was long. His arm, I just remember his arm just extraordinarily extending.
Got 2 Monstars wrapped around his waist. That'll be me if Lewerke ends up not being total shit as a prospect.
Touche. Who they? Is there anyone else on Stanford? Am I forgetting here?
Walker Little.
Oh, the tackle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's actually, here's a fun fact. He's actually a guard, but they're playing him at tackle. And people don't realize he's a guard yet because they haven't really watched his tape yet. But I think he has to play inside at the next level.
You have a comp there?
No. I've been doing pretty good this summer with coming up with some comps that I like.
Yeah.
Like the Curtis Weaver to Derek Barnett and Costello to Austin. Like I like a lot of comps I have, but I do not have a comp for Walker Little that I like because I don't think he has a high ceiling at guard either. Like he's got a lot to clean up this year to change my mind that he's like a top 5 offensive line prospect this year.
He has fans.
He does have fans. It's one of those ones where, you know, if you want to buy into what he can be, then sure, maybe you can get a little excited about him, but I'm electing to be a little bit more reserved on him.
All right, who's the third best corner prospect, excuse me, in the Pac-12?
Laviska Shenault.
Yes. Yeah, but he's a little lower for you. I like him a little more than you do, I think.
Yeah, I got him like between 25 and 30 on the board.
He might be more 15 to 20. I'll say this. I'm really nervous about – holy crap, the slide-outs have a different look on the website. Have you seen these?
Dude, no.
Dude, check them out right now. There's a different color scheme. It's nice.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That looks sweet.
Right?
Should read my own reports more often.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Good job, Rob Burton, our graphic designer. He does a nice job. I like Shenault. I'm real nervous about his injuries, though, man. Like, he's got a long list of, like, he's dealing with this toe thing right now.
Yeah.
And he had an off-season surgery for turf toe and a torn labrum. And when you have like receivers with foot problems, I don't know if it's the Sammy Watkins things, but it scares me to death. It really does.
Which is ironic because my comp for Laviska Shenault is Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think Shenault's a three-level threat. I think he's super dynamic with the ball in his hands. I think he's a true alpha. Like, just he's super competitive. I hate the way he was used in this offense. I hope it's a lot different this year. I mean, he played a lot of like almost like an H-back role. But I think he's a really dynamic weapon that it gives good size, good athletic ability, good strength, physicality. I think he catches the football well outside of his frame, has good ball skills. I just want to not be concerned about his health, and I don't know if I can be. And he's got a big step to take, right? Like, in terms of what he's going to be asked to do in the NFL compared to at Colorado, there's going to be a lot on his plate to adjust. So he's not as clean as some of the other top receivers.
No, I don't think so. So – but I have read that they're expecting him to be a little bit more pro style this year, which is promising to read.
Kyle, I have bad news.
What's that?
Ian Rapoport. Derwin James will be out a significant amount of time.
No.
He injured his foot yesterday.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks bad. Damn it. Damn it.
Should we shut down the pod?
I don't know. Then this is tough. Like, I mean, Nasir Adderley, like, go get some, but damn. That blows.
That sucks.
Okay. Back to.
How about Steve Montez? You got anything good to say about Steve Montez, quarterback for Colorado?
I have notes on Steven Montez. They have a while I'm pulling those up, they have a little receiver, Katie Nixon, who's fun, slot guy. But he's got some – he made some plays on the field. He's a pretty explosive guy. Keep an eye on him as a sleeper. I mean, Montez is one of those checks the boxes, looks like a quarterback type players. I think I have positive notes here about his pocket awareness and his ability to navigate the pocket. You keep him in the rhythm, I think he can be fine. He has good physical tools in terms of his ability to throw the football with tempo and pace. My issues are what? Here they are. Ball placement is erratic. Field vision is questionable. Is a point-and-shoot passer with a lot of room for growth in terms of anticipation skills. And he's not the most athletic for his style of play. So,
well, and he used to be more athletic, but he added some weight. Like, he bulked up big time. Yeah.
He's 6'5", so, like, yeah. What was he?
He was lean. He was really lean initially. Here's my question. Is he better than Sifo Lufau?
Oh, God, yeah. They wouldn't even let Sifo Lufau, like, play in the Senior Bowl game when he was there.
Didn't they get a quarterback hurt? And, like, they still didn't let Lufau throw the ball?
What a crap player, dude. Like, oh. Like, he... one of the worst one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen at the Senior Bowl.
Wow.
And I think everyone knew it right away, right? Like,
yeah, it was him and
he didn't belong here.
Him and what was Trey Pipkin? Or
Antonio Pipkins.
Antonio Pipkins.
I'd rather have Pipkins, man.
No, that's a bad take. Give me Luke.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I can have Pipkins and he can play a different position. Lufau can't move, man. He's like a grandfather
playing the field for me.
No, horrible. Montez, like, is he's more interesting than Clayton Thorson, I think, is like a better conversation.
Yeah. And I think he is. Yeah. I think he's got a better arm than Clayton Thorson does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So lock him in to get drafted in the sixth round because he's 6'5 and has decent arm.
Poor one out for Danny Etling.
Yeah.
Actually, didn't he get signed by the Falcons?
Yeah, they picked him up on waivers.
What? Oh, the guy keeps making money. How? Okay.
Is he getting picked up as a wide receiver or as a quarterback? That's the real question.
Why is it even a thought? Oh.
You ready for the next one?
Yes, please.
The next best prospect in the Pac-12 is Jalen Johnson, the corner from Utah.
How high are you on him?
I have a hot take.
All right.
Well, I mean, I'm not as high on him as a lot of our friends are in football media. How's that? I have him 42. So top 50 type player. But if I told you within 10 spots on my initial board, I have another Utah Ute, would you know who it is?
Is it that they have a defensive lineman, don't they? Tackle?
They have two. They have an end, Bradley and I, and they have a defensive tackle, Leckie Fotu.
I bet you it's that guy, Fotu.
It is Fotu.
Yeah.
That dude's a house, man. Holy cow. This Utah front, they're going to punch people in the face all year long. Do not tell me the Pac-12 does not play defense because Utah, like, very quietly has four NFL prospects on their defense. Bradley and I, number six, their pass rusher. Leckie Fotu, for me, just missed my top 50. He is super stout, super physical. He's like 6'4", 335. But he's got some mobility to him too, some short area quickness. Jalen Johnson, who's very physical, very dense, very long. I don't think he's the best mover in space. I think his transitional quickness is an area that he can be exploited if you play him in space. And then free safety Julian Blackman is another safety for them to keep an eye on. Another pretty solid player. So Utah's defense, four NFL draft prospects as far as I'm concerned this year.
Nice. Nice.
Bet you didn't know you were going to get a whole bunch of Utah Utes. We didn't even talk about Zach Moss.
Oh, running back, yeah.
Yeah.
You a fan?
Big fan. Zach Moss. Also just missed my top 50.
We haven't named a Washington Husky yet, huh?
We have not. No. My top Washington Husky. Listen, Trey Adams would be up there if he didn't have the medicals.
Yeah, right? It's concerning. Yeah.
I mean, he's at the point now where he had a knee, he had a back issue, and I think the medicals are really going to ding him throughout the pre-draft process, assuming he even stays healthy this year. Because did he only come back and play the bowl game this year?
Yeah, it's a couple. Yeah, maybe a game or two at the end. It's like, and we were expecting big things out of him. And it's like, just before the Auburn game, he didn't play. And then afterwards, it's like, no, he's got a back problem. It's going to keep him out the whole year. Like, yeah. What?
Yeah.
He was coming off an ACL tear, right?
Yes. Coming off the ACL tear, and then the back injury happened.
Hey.
My top Washington Husky is Jacob Eason at 68.
Have you done Aaron Fuller yet?
I have done Aaron Fuller. Aaron Fuller for me.
Wide receiver, by the way, people.
Yes, he's kind of cut from the same cloth as, what's his name that just came through there, San Francisco?
Pettis?
Yeah, Dante Pettis. He's cut from the same cloth as him. Where are you at? Aaron Fuller, I have 90.
Okay. Well, he's in there.
And Trey Adams was at 93. So I have three Washington Huskies in the top 100.
Very good. Very good.
Real quick about Jacob Eason. Okay. Washington still has not named a starting quarterback, and that's a problem. Like, if you're coming from Georgia and you're as highly coveted as you are, and you take last year and you've redshirt last year.
Yeah.
And you're still slow making decisions with a year under your belt of trying to process the playbook. You're just going to be a slow decision maker. And for all of his physical tools, and he's got like Matt Stafford-like upside, if you make slow decisions, that suddenly makes you much closer to Christian Hackenberg than it does to Matt Stafford. And that's a big problem. So that's why, like, when I first watched Jacob Eason, I really loved the traits that he put on display. But every single report that we are getting out of Washington right now is the light bulb is not on.
And I know that he wasn't super committed and focused at Georgia. So that's concerning. He should be from the ground running, taking control of this football team.
But he's not.
He's not.
I got to work through.
There's that Cal safety, Dane Brewer, big fan, number two safety.
I didn't rank him in the top 100.
You watch him? I haven't watched him, so I don't know.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
The next guy down for me is actually Darnay Holmes.
Okay, corner from UCLA.
Nickel corner from UCLA, who Jonah Tolles just wrote about this past week for the Draft Network. Holmes, definitely a Nick, but really like what he brings to the table from an athleticism standpoint. UCLA in general, there are other prospects. What, Josh Kelly? Running back?
Yeah, running back, yeah.
He's like a middle of day three type player if he comes out this year as a redshirt junior. I just don't think he has any juice. Wide receiver Theo Howard, number 14. I didn't write up, but I know enough to know that you keep an eye on him. Offensive guard Michael Alves, number 55. Flashed a little bit as far as athleticism, playing in space, getting out in front. UCLA with Chip ran a bunch of like these buck sweeps and they pulled two offensive linemen and got him out in front. And I thought he showed some nice things in that capacity. Anybody else that you may have on UCLA, Joe?
No, the two, I had Kelly and Holmes. So
that's about all they got this year. This team's still super young. Like Chip's coming into year two.
Yeah.
They're at least another year or two away from really putting out NFL talent again.
Kind of weird we haven't talked about USC yet. We've like done six teams. Like,
nobody.
Is this the Virginia Tech of the Pac-12 now? Like
what a brutal statement, but also not inaccurate.
They have a couple of receivers. Pittman, I know he's flashed. Michael Pittman's son, Michael Pittman Jr. He's made some big plays in the passing game where you kind of saw an alpha mentality, but I'm not sure he's as polished as a lot of the guys that we're talking about in a very good receiver year, but he's made some plays. And they have another receiver that I haven't quite looked at yet.
Tyler Vaughns.
Yeah, Tyler Vaughns.
Yeah, number 21. They're both tall. Pittman's like 6'4". Vaughns is like 6'2". I think Pittman's like 210 or something like that. Big boy. Mm-hmm. They also have EQ St. Brown's younger brother.
Really?
He's there as a true sophomore this year, too. Yeah.
Okay, I need to know his name because if they named one son Equanimous and they other named the other son like Steve, I got questions.
Well, this one is Amon-Ra.
Okay, very good. That's on brand.
Which is that's like the Egyptian. That's got some connection to like ancient Egypt, I think.
Terrific. I'm just making sure that it was a creative name.
It was, yeah. Don't good. Worry. You good. Remember when Stephen Carr was a thing?
No, I don't.
Remember when Stephen Carr first came to USC as a freshman? Like 2 years ago. He looked great. And he's just totally fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember him being a thing, but...
How dare you? Well, who was the last USC back to come out? Because he's like stole all the playing time from that guy.
Rojo?
Was it Rojo?
Yeah, I mean, 2018.
Yeah.
They didn't have anybody last year, did they? Running back. Not that I'm aware of, I can think of.
My producer's pulling it up. I don't want to misquote myself here. Yeah, he averaged like 7 yards a touch for
Stephen Carr.
For USC in 2017. He had 82 touches and like almost 600 yards from scrimmage.
Who else do we need to know about on this football team?
Christian Rector.
Yeah, defensive. Or he's like an edge, right?
Yes, defensive end number 89. He didn't really like I didn't go crazy about him, but he's a big boy. He's 6'4", 275. Pretty heavy-handed, but he doesn't move like a top-end prospect would move at 6'4", 275.
What do I have left? Arizona, Washington State, and Oregon State?
Arizona State.
Yeah.
All right, let's do turbo round here. We're at 30 minutes.
They got those running backs.
What the hell happened here?
Goes fast, man.
What happened? I looked up. We're at 30 minutes. I looked up last time. We were at like 16.
Right. Do the lightning round like I did for the ACC yesterday.
Okay. Did we acknowledge that we need to do Cal?
No, we need to do Cal. If there's anybody outside of that safety.
There's not. How's that?
Okay. All right.
Washington State. Did we acknowledge that we need to do Washington State?
Yeah, that was one of the teams that I had mentioned.
Okay. This team, as far as I'm concerned, does not have anybody either. Would you disagree with that statement?
I don't have anyone on my watch list at all. So I'm
correct. Yeah. Arizona has J.J. Taylor, the running back. Why am I Khalil Tate, the quarterback, who's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched him and De'Aaron King from Houston back to back, and I thought there was some parallels and strengths between those two, but Khalil Tate's not 5'8", 185 pounds, so he's got that working for him. So J.J. Taylor and Khalil Tate. Also, defensively for Arizona, they have linebacker Colin Schooler, who put up monster stats last year. He's a true junior, but that is a name to definitely circle if you're watching Arizona. Arizona State has Eno Benjamin is their headliner. He rushed for, I think it was 1,800 yards last year, and he's got good contact balance, but he's only like 200, 205 pounds, so he's not quite as heavy as the way that he runs. He plays above his weight class in that capacity a little bit. They have a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, who's pretty smooth, number two. Defensively, they have
Chase Lucas, right?
Chase Lucas, corner. Yes. Redshirt junior corner, number 24. And then on their offensive line, their left tackle, Zach Robertson, also has some fans as well.
Oh, he kicked. I've been had my eye on him for a while now. Yes. He started out as a guard.
Yes.
He's powerful.
Yeah, 6'5", 325, playing left tackle this year for Arizona State.
Oh, I'm interested there. I need to spend some time on his tape soon.
Who are we forgetting? That it? That's it.
For Arizona State.
That's it for everybody. We did Colorado, UCLA, USC.
The Beavers of Oregon State, sir. No, do you have anyone?
No, I have no one. Do you have anyone for Oregon State?
Let me just double check. No.
Okay. Let's call it a day. Joe, Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins both play football tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll be there.
Best wishes to you.
Yeah. No Cam Newton or Luke Kuechly for the Panthers tonight, so boo.
Will you see Josh Allen play football?
Oh, you'll see Josh Allen play football. He's got to get ready for a season, brother. He's not a 9-year pro, man. This guy started like 13 games. He's got to play.
We'll see a lot of Josh Rosen tonight, I'm hoping. So hopefully we both have positive experience with our 2018 quarterbacks. Come back on Monday, see how we feel. We're also doing the Big Ten on Monday, finishing up the Power 5 conferences, and then we'll do a little bit of Notre Dame on Tuesday in front of Takes on Takes.
Man, we got one of the weirdest questions we've ever seen for Takes on Takes.
We did. Can you tease it?
It's 90s boys bands. 90s boys. Yeah. And I'm going to have to like learn who these guys are. I'll just figure it out on Tuesday.
We can blame Trevor for this.
Yeah. Thank you, Trevor.
So thanks, Trevor. All right. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino signing off. Thanks as always for listening to Draft Dudes Podcast.